Zelensky weaponizes sanctions on stolen grain to choke Russian revenue streams. Ukraine is weaponizing sanctions and drone strikes in tandem. President Volodymyr Zelensky announced Tuesday that Kyiv is preparing a sanctions package targeting entities transporting grain from Russian-occupied Ukrainian territories, hours after summoning Israel's ambassador over shipments that allegedly arrived at Israeli ports. The move marks an escalation in Ukraine's economic warfare playbook. Pair diplomatic pressure with physical infrastructure destruction to strangle Russian revenue streams at their source. The diplomatic confrontation unfolded as Ukrainian drones struck Russia's Tuapse oil refinery on the Black Sea, triggering what Veniamin Kondratiev, governor of Russia's Krasnodar region, described as a massive fire requiring more than 160 firefighters and the evacuation of nearby residents. The refinery, owned by Rosneft, had already been hit on April 16, halting operations according to industry sources cited by Reuters. Ukraine's strategy is clear: disrupt Russian export infrastructure while cutting off secondary revenue channels that benefit from occupied territory. Zelensky wrote in a Telegram statement that a shipment of Ukrainian grain had arrived at an Israeli port, adding that such transactions violate the legislation of the State of Israel itself. Ukrainian Foreign Minister Andriy Sybiha said a second vessel delivering stolen goods had docked in Haifa, calling on Israel to act before the relationship suffered damage. Israeli Foreign Minister Gideon Saar pushed back sharply, stating that allegations are not evidence and criticizing Sybiha for turning to the media and social networks rather than using diplomatic channels. And number 10,022, takeaways by Plaquemium AI Hyde and number 9,650, President Zelensky announced a sanctions package targeting entities transporting grain from Russian-occupied Ukrainian territories, hours after summoning Israel and #X27's ambassador over shipments allegedly arriving at Israeli ports. Ukrainian drones struck Russia and #X27's Tuapse oil refinery on the Black Sea, triggering a massive fire that required over 160 firefighters and the evacuation of nearby residents, with the refinery already hit on April 16 and halting operations. Russia controls approximately 20% of Ukrainian territory, including fertile Black Sea coastal regions that historically accounted for significant wheat and corn exports. Why this matters: Russia controls approximately one-fifth of Ukrainian territory, including key agricultural zones. Any trade in commodities sourced from these areas represents not just theft under international law, but revenue that funds ongoing military operations. For institutional investors tracking commodity flows, energy security, and sanctions compliance, this dual-front escalation signals that Ukraine intends to make Russian-linked trade radioactive across global markets, forcing neutral parties like Israel to choose sides or face reputational and legal consequences. Follow the grain. Occupied territory as revenue generator. Ukraine's focus on grain shipments from occupied territories reveals a calculated targeting of Russia's agricultural revenue. Russia currently occupies roughly 20% of Ukrainian land, including the fertile Black Sea coastal regions that historically accounted for significant wheat and corn exports. Zelensky stated that new sanctions would hit those who directly transport this grain, and those individuals and legal entities who are trying to profit from such a criminal scheme. He added that Ukraine would coordinate with European partners to ensure their sanctions regimes included the relevant individuals and entities. The Israeli angle matters for several reasons. First, Israel has walked a diplomatic tightrope throughout the Russia-Ukraine conflict, maintaining relations with both Kyiv and Moscow while conducting its own military operations in Syria, where Russian forces operate. Second, Israeli ports are major commodity hubs with stringent customs and traceability requirements. If Ukrainian grain from occupied zones is indeed entering Israeli supply chains, it suggests either gaps in import verification or deliberate blind spots that Ukraine now intends to expose publicly. Sybiha's comments that friendly Ukrainian-Israeli relations have the potential to benefit both countries, and Russia's illegal trade with stolen Ukrainian grain should not undermine them, frame this as a warning shot, not an ultimatum. But the summoning of the ambassador and the public disclosure strategy indicate Kyiv's willingness to name and shame partners who facilitate Russian commodity flows, even indirect ones. Oil infrastructure under sustained assault. Quantifying the campaign, the April 28 strike on Tuapse is part of a broader Ukrainian campaign against Russian oil infrastructure that escalated in late March 2026. Ukrainian drones hit Russia's Ust-Luga and Primorsk oil export terminals in the Baltic Sea, severing as much as 40% of oil export revenue, according to Al Jazeera's reporting. Additional strikes targeted an oil tank farm and loading pier at the Transneft Port Primorsk terminal west of St. Petersburg, the Saratov oil refinery, and the Bashneft Yufanefkim refinery in the Republic of Bashkortostan. These are not random targets. Primorsk and Ust-Luga are critical export terminals for Russian crude and refined products flowing to European and Asian markets. Tuapse, located on the Black Sea, serves both domestic refining needs and export operations. By hitting refineries and export terminals simultaneously, Ukraine forces Russia to choose between domestic fuel supply and hard currency export revenue. The timing is particularly consequential. The U.S.-Israel war on Iran, which began in late February 2026, triggered a closure of the Strait of Hormuz and sent oil prices soaring. The United States suspended years-long sanctions on Russian oil as part of efforts to stabilize global supply amid the crisis. This created a windfall for Moscow. The Center for Research on Energy and Clean Air estimated that Russia earned an additional €672 million, $777 million, in oil sales in just the first 2 weeks of the Iran war. Ukraine's drone strikes aim to claw back that windfall. If Russian export terminals and refineries operate at reduced capacity, the country cannot fully capitalize on elevated prices. The strategy is straightforward: deny Russia the infrastructure needed to monetize favorable market conditions. Hormuz, sanctions relief, and the knock-on effects the Iran conflict has reordered global energy flows in ways that directly benefit Russia. With the Strait of Hormuz effectively closed since late February, one-fifth of global oil supply has been disrupted. Dozens of countries issued a joint statement led by Bahrain calling for the urgent and unimpeded opening of the waterway. United Nations Secretary General Antonio Guterres warned the impasse risks the worst supply chain disruption since COVID-19. For Russia, the result has been a double windfall: higher oil prices and the suspension of U.S. sanctions that previously constrained exports. The Center for Research on Energy and Clean Air figure of €672 million in additional revenue over 2 weeks translates to an annualized potential gain exceeding €17 billion, assuming similar conditions persist. That is real money for a wartime economy. But Ukraine's infrastructure strikes threaten to neutralize that advantage. The Tuapse refinery attack on April 28 followed a previous strike on April 16 that had already halted operations. Prolonged downtime at major facilities compounds the impact. Even temporary disruptions create logistical bottlenecks, force rerouting of crude flows, and reduce the volume Russia can bring to market. The broader geopolitical context matters for institutional investors. Iranian Foreign Minister Abbas Araghchi has proposed reopening the Strait of Hormuz without immediately addressing Iran's nuclear program, seeking broader regional buy-in during diplomatic visits to Pakistan, Oman, and Russia. If Hormuz reopens and oil prices stabilize, Russia loses its price windfall. If the strait remains closed, Ukraine's infrastructure campaign becomes even more critical in determining Russian revenue. Sanctions architecture, building the legal framework. Zelensky's announcement of a forthcoming sanctions package represents an extension of Ukraine's existing legal architecture. Kyiv has previously sanctioned individuals and businesses cooperating with Russian forces in occupied territories. The new package will target those transporting grain and the legal entities profiting from these transactions. Ukraine will coordinate with European partners to ensure alignment across jurisdictions. This coordination matters because unilateral Ukrainian sanctions have limited practical impact. European Union and UK sanctions, however, can freeze assets, block financial transactions, and trigger compliance obligations for multinational corporations. If European jurisdictions adopt Ukraine's designations, companies and ship operators handling grain from occupied zones face material, legal, and reputational risk. The Israeli response will serve as a test case. If Tel Aviv investigates the shipments and takes corrective action, it signals that Ukraine's naming and shaming strategy works. If Israel dismisses the allegations or takes no substantive steps, Ukraine may escalate by providing detailed vessel tracking data, port records, or other evidence to European authorities, forcing their hand. For shipping companies, commodity traders, and insurers, the message is unambiguous: Ukrainian agricultural products from occupied zones carry sanctions risk that will only increase over time. Due diligence on origin and chain of custody is no longer optional. Energy markets and institutional implications. The combination of Ukrainian drone strikes and the Iran-driven oil price surge creates a volatile environment for energy investors. Russian export capacity is under physical attack at the same time that global demand for alternative supply has spiked. The result is heightened price volatility and supply uncertainty. Bob Kitchen, Vice President for Emergencies at the International Rescue Committee, noted that fuel price increases are forcing aid agencies to ration generator use in health clinics across Nigeria and Ethiopia. The IRC reported that shipping disruptions prevented access to $130,000 worth of supplies stuck in Dubai and needed by 20,000 people in Sudan. Kitchen called for serious and immediate conversations about humanitarian corridors through the Strait of Hormuz to allow critical supplies to move. These humanitarian impacts underscore the broader supply chain disruptions that institutional investors must factor into commodity and logistics exposures. The closure of Hormuz and the simultaneous Ukrainian campaign against Russian infrastructure are not isolated events. They interact to create compounding supply constraints and price pressures. Cecile Terrace, director at the International Federation of Red Cross and Red Crescent Societies, stated that it's 100% sure that the increase of oil price is affecting the lives of people and also our operations. Aid agencies are burning through budgets rapidly due to elevated transportation costs. For private equity and infrastructure investors with exposure to refining, storage, or export terminals, the Ukrainian strikes demonstrate that physical assets in conflict-adjacent regions face material operational risk. Insurance premiums, security costs, and downtime all erode returns. The Tuapse refinery has now been struck twice in 2 weeks, with the second attack triggering a massive fire and evacuations. That is not a minor operational hiccup. It is sustained targeting designed to take capacity offline. The Plaquemium view this story is about the convergence of kinetic and economic warfare, and Ukraine is executing both with increasing sophistication. The grain sanctions and oil refinery strikes are two sides of the same coin: deny Russia revenue, force difficult trade-offs, and impose costs on third parties who facilitate Russian commerce. The Israeli grain controversy is a warning to neutral parties. Ukraine is prepared to publicly embarrass allies who look the other way on Russian commodity flows. The diplomatic summoning and the public statements by Zelensky and Sibba are deliberate escalation tactics designed to create political pressure in Tel Aviv. If Israel does not act, Ukraine will likely take the evidence to European partners and push for coordinated sanctions. The goal is to make handling Russian-linked commodities legally and reputationally toxic, even for countries with no direct stake in the conflict. The oil refinery campaign is even more strategically significant. Ukraine is exploiting the Iran war's disruption of global oil supply to maximize the impact of its strikes. Russia should be capitalizing on elevated prices, but instead it is dealing with infrastructure failures that limit export volumes. This is asymmetric warfare. Ukraine cannot match Russian oil production, but it can destroy the infrastructure that monetizes that production. The timing matters. U.S. President Donald Trump faces a May 1 deadline under the 1973 War Powers Resolution to obtain congressional authorization for continued military operations against Iran. A fourth bipartisan Senate bid to invoke the resolution was defeated 52-47 on April 15, but Republican support may not extend beyond the 60-day window without formal approval. If U.S. military operations wind down and diplomatic efforts succeed in reopening Hormuz, oil prices will fall and Russia's windfall evaporates. Ukraine's infrastructure strikes ensure that even if prices stay elevated, Russia cannot fully capitalize. For institutional investors, the takeaway is that commodity supply chains in conflict zones carry underappreciated tail risk. Ukrainian drones can reach deep into Russian territory, hitting targets hundreds of kilometers from the front lines. No major export terminal or refinery is truly safe. Insurance models built on historical loss data do not capture this new operational reality. The secondary implication is that sanctions architecture is expanding to cover not just direct trade with Russia, but third-party facilitators. Companies and investors with exposure to commodity trading, shipping, or ports need robust origin verification and compliance programs. The Israeli case shows that even major U.S. allies are not immune from scrutiny. The third-order effect is on energy transition investment. Prolonged oil price volatility and supply uncertainty accelerate the economic case for renewable energy and energy independence. European governments and corporations that reduce reliance on hydrocarbon imports insulate themselves from these shocks. The Iran war and the Ukrainian infrastructure campaign are near-term disruptions, but they reinforce long-term strategic imperatives. So what? Trade, compliance, and operational risk. Ukraine is rewriting the playbook for economic warfare in the 2020s. Drones provide precision strike capability at low cost, turning distant refineries and export terminals into viable targets. Public diplomacy and sanctions coordination extend the pressure into legal and reputational domains, forcing neutral parties to take sides. For commodity traders, the message is clear: origin matters, and due diligence is a legal necessity, not a box-checking exercise. For energy investors, physical infrastructure in conflict-adjacent regions carries material downside risk that traditional insurance may not fully cover. For policymakers and multilateral institutions, the humanitarian corridor debate over the Strait of Hormuz is urgent. As Kitchen and Terrace made clear, fuel price spikes and supply disruptions are already forcing rationing of critical services in fragile states. The bottom line: Ukraine's dual-front campaign against Russian grain exports and oil infrastructure is a deliberate strategy to deny Moscow war revenue while global energy markets remain disrupted. The Israeli grain controversy is a shot across the bow to neutral parties. The Tuapse refinery strikes are a demonstration that no Russian export facility is out of reach. Investors with exposure to commodity flows, energy infrastructure, or sanctions-sensitive sectors need to recalibrate risk models accordingly. The battlefield has moved beyond the front lines, and the economic theater is now just as consequential as the kinetic one.